Hello, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and I'm here with Neil Miller, and we are the Fat Guys at the Movies. None of this artsy-fartsy BS from us, guys. We are just regular people, voluptuous, ample, regular guys who love movies. We're the chubby cinemaphiles, the flabby film geeks, the rotund reviewers. When we sit around a movie theater, we really sit around the movie theater. Now, don't go to the movies, don't go to the video store until you hear what we have to say. So, welcome to the show. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing fantastic, Kevin. That is quite the grand entrance.
Quite the introduction.
I like it.
Let us know that we are the fat guys on the movies. You know, just a little bit about ourselves. This is our flagship show, our inaugural show. We are two film critics from Columbus, Ohio. All hail the Buckeye State. This is our new show, Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are going to be giving you movie reviews. We're going to be commenting on entertainment news of the day. We're going to recap the box office and the box office predictions. We're going to talk DVDs. Later on, we're going to have some, you know, interesting tidbits and talks about the summer seasons and the upcoming films. You don't want to miss that. And of course, there will always be a chance for the listeners to get in touch with us and tell us what idiots we are.
Absolutely. Yes. And in fact, I am a huge fan of being told how much of an idiot I am.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Did you press the wrong button there?
I may have. There was this button here. It said flux capacitor. Was that the right button I was supposed to push at that time?
I don't think that's the button you were supposed to push.
That is not the button you want to push.
No, not the button you were supposed to push.
In the magical
we are not
studio.
Off to a good start here.
The magical studio
anyway.
Sky. It was the fat capacitor. I wanted the fat capacitor.
The fat capacitor has transformed us back to episode one.
Yes. For those
but
who
we have met you.
For those who remember, almost four years ago, that mm-hmm. was on March 30th, 2007. That was the flagship premiere episode of Fat Guys at the Movies, and it sounded awful.
It's unbelievable that we've come so far, yet not come very far at all.
It's actually not very accessible on the internet. I mean, we discovered going digging through the archives, because it's the big fat 200th episode of Fat Guys of the Movies. Congratulations, Neil.
Yes, yes. Well, welcome to all of our seven listeners who have been with us through thick and thin to the 200th episode of this fair show.
That's right.
We're very excited to continue to do stuff like this.
Yeah, sort of, and very much like these it's like history. The farther and farther back you get in history, the spottier it is. This show is like the fossil record. There are giant gaps in the show if you actually want to dig through Film School Rejects or FatGuysInTheMovies.com and find the older episodes. Like, this one's online, but the very first episode's online, but it's like the first minute and a half or something like that.
Right. We need to fix that.
Yeah.
Just so that people can go back and listen. But hey, we've already given you the first minute, so it's really only 30 seconds that you're missing out on at this point.
That's right. So here is... Welcome to the big 200th episode, Fat Guys of the Movies.
Woohoo! Big 200th episode. It's interesting. It's a gigantic accomplishment, I guess, in the world of movie podcasting. I was thinking about it today, listening, looking through iTunes and things like that at some of the shows that I've been listening to since around the time that we started.
There's not a whole lot of shows that have 200 episodes that are...
There are not. There are, you have Film Spotting, which is on the 340th episode. You have Film Junk, which just passed 300, so congratulations
right.
to them.
Film Junk sent us a big congratulations today about
yeah.
that, too, which is awesome.
Nice guys over there. Yeah. And I think, really, beyond that, it was what? Film Junk, Film Spotting, and Row 3, which is a podcast that started right around the same time we did. Yeah. And they are also celebrating their 200th episode this week.
Wow.
So when you contrast that with the just impressive amount of movie podcasts out there, I mean, there's like 50 on the fatguysofthemovies.com site.
That's
as it
true.
Is.
There's a lot
right now. So the amount of podcasts, every movie website seems to have their own podcast.
Yeah.
And for us to still be doing this after 200 episodes is
pretty
quite
amazing.
Impressive.
We, in fact, well, first, let's get the paperwork out of the way if you want to get a hold of us.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't figured it out by now, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies.
Go to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can find this and other podcasts. You go to iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies.
Yeah.
And all the, you know what's funny? If you search Fat Guys of the Movies, like all the Fat Guys Networks shows will show up, and then the podcast shows up. I don't know why Fozzie's podcast shows up in our search.
Maybe because he's mentioned quite a bit.
Yes, well, that's true. And he's a little bit, he belongs in the fat guys circle, we'll say.
Sure.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456, excuse me, 705-205.
Maybe you should do that again.
I'm sorry, it's late. 740-205-6456. And we do have a listener voicemail we're going to play later. We have other voicemails commemorating our anniversary. But yeah, back to the whole thing with being the 200th episode. This is we had a 100th episode, but you were actually at the Sundance Film Festival. This was 2 years ago.
This is true.
Yeah,
I was gone for the 100th episode. I think I've been gone for all the very even potential anniversary episodes. You know, 50,
well, yeah, well, because
115.
It was always right around Sundance, and you would usually go to Sundance, and. You were too busy.
Well, I mean, this year I would have been back by now had I gone.
That's true. We just happened to and this is the thing that's interesting. We've only missed a couple weeks. I'm not saying we missed episodes because, you know, if we miss an episode, we just skip one. But we missed once. I think one of us was sick, like really deathly, or both of us ended up being sick. There was one.
Yeah, I think that I could probably count on one hand the weeks that we've missed. And, you know, we had a few years there where we were taking off Christmas. Christmas week, we didn't do a show.
We've done that a couple times, but
yeah.
But not many. I think over the course of the 200 episodes, it's almost been weekly,
every single week.
Yeah,
Fat Guys of the Movies, so, all up in your ears.
They were patting ourselves on the back and everything.
I know, but I am amazed that I have personally had the tolerance for talking to you at length.
Well, you've done at least 100 episodes.
That's not true. I think,
well, that is true. You've done at least 100. You've missed a couple, but not, I mean,
I've missed a couple, but it's no more than.
You're there for the lion's share of them. You're there for the lion's share, definitely.
Yeah, but I will say this. I tip my hat to you, Kevin Carr, because you have been on. Have you been on? I think. Have you missed any?
I missed. I believe there's one episode that you and Brian Gibson back in 2008 did.
This is true.
Because
this has happened
at
least once, if not twice, where you've missed the show.
And
so,
then I think you did one.
Neither one of us has a perfect record, but the show itself, which always goes on.
Yeah.
Is at 200.
Yes. So we're doing good, and to help celebrate, we've opened a swag shop on Film School Rejects. It's in its beta stage, so it's not really for a full launch or anything.
Right. It doesn't have any naked pictures of Kevin.
Not
so clearly it's not ready for public consumption yet.
Not yet. But if you want to go there, you go to the Fat Guys Movies page, and it's a little swag shop there. It's got a little beta sticker there just so you know it's not fully stocked yet, but you can go there, you can order a t-shirt or a mug or something. If you have ideas, if there's something you want to see and you're like, hey, I need a picture of Kevin's face on a thong, email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
You know, they can do that over at Cafe Press.
They in fact can. That's true.
Yeah, and you'll be supporting the show,
because
someone's going to have to pay those bills.
Somebody's going to be supporting something.
200 episodes do not get hosted in the, you know, in the ether for free.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Yeah, but and we got some nice, like you said, Film Junk sent us a tweet congratulating us. Kayla Crow, Fyodor Fish.
Hey, that's my lady.
Yeah, well, the Kayla Crow, not Fyodor Fish, is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no. But she did, and Fyodor Fish did, and Ryan Gallagher from Criterion Cast
all
gave us a little shout out. So thanks to them.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's expecting us to continue.
And you know,
little do they know, this will be our last episode.
We're done. We're like Art Bell. We're retired. No.
I'm out.
We'll be back.
Like Rick James.
We'll be
That's
back for no other reason.
We have at least 100 more episodes in us.
If for another reason than to talk about Justin Bieber next week.
Oh yeah. I mean, somebody's got to talk about Justin Bieber.
So
we're always there to take the real crap jobs.
Happy anniversary. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go eat some cake now, and we will be back
cake.
After this break to actually review movies that Neil has not seen.
I have not seen, in true Fat Guys fashion, I have not seen any of the movies this week. So take that, 200th episode. And we are back on Fat Guys the Movies.
We're
we
still
have,
here. If you haven't figured out,
successfully consumed cake.
200 episodes, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we're no plans of doing anything but continuing to record weekly podcasts in which Kevin reviews movies and I make comments about his comments.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that you had to miss Sundance this year means you're not.
We're going to be on an even playing field at least until South by Southwest.
Well, yeah, you're not going to see anything this year until you get the handful of stuff that comes to South by Southwest. But yeah.
Actually, they announced the South by lineup today, and a lot of it is Sundance stuff. There's really? At least 14 films from Sundance.
Wow.
So I'm going to see a ton of movies at South by. I took that whole week off.
That's how you're going to bank them, because that's always.
I will. I usually bank them at Sundance.
And that has not happened for this one.
It's okay, man. I'm a hard worker.
You are.
Slow and steady wins the race, as they say.
Okay.
And I definitely have slow down.
And steady when you're not drinking.
Steady. I haven't. You know. Well.
Well, anyway. You live in Austin. It's barbecue and beer. That's the diet.
Basically.
Yeah.
And speaking of Austin, this movie did screen there. I just decided not to go see it. We are talking about Sanctum. In which a group of cavers?
Yeah, that's what they call themselves.
They're trapped inside an explored cave that starts to flood, and they have to go into uncharted territory to escape in 3D.
D.
Espiritu Sala, the mother of all caves.
Trust me, you're going to love this.
What could possibly go wrong diving in caves?
Pull the team out now! The storm is turned into a cyclone!
The cave is flooding!
You think?
You'll find another way out!
We follow the river all the way to the ocean. This way.
You sure?
Nope. I'll see you on the other side.
Could have picked a better choice of words.
Okay, so tell me about this little... this is produced by James, now on Twitter, Cameron.
At Jim Cameron.
At Jim Cameron produced this movie.
Yes, this one is... This is a very typical. When I was in junior high, they taught us. Well, these are in literature class. They said, well, these are the classic kind of stories: man versus man versus nature. Like
man versus food.
Man versus food, sure. Yeah. This is your classic man.
I'll
versus
tell you who
nature.
Wins that one. Okay. Food.
This is your classic man versus nature episode, and it's basically. It's Twister in a cave kind of thing, where you got these people and they're fighting against the cave to survive and all the stuff that the cave's throwing at them. Because there's no real villain. The heroes are the people, and you want to see them survive. But it's based on a true story and about people, again, they're deep inside an unexplored cave, and it starts to flood because a monsoon comes and starts, of course, since it's a cave, you know, water comes into the cave and it just starts, you know, filling up, and they've got diving tanks and that sort of thing. And their goal is to go down through the cave, and they believe it leads to the ocean. So that's the plan. Okay.
Right. Because no one's ever explored the ocean before.
Well, no one's ever explored between where they are in the ocean. That's the big thing, because it's a cave. It's underground. And gotcha. Just because water can get through does not mean a human can, that kind of thing. It's shot in 3D. It's shot in digital. It's high definition, shot in 3D using the Fusion camera system. And the reason I say that that's important, because, you know, there is the race to 3D, and I'll acknowledge that. And although I'm a huge advocate of 3D, there are certain movies like My Soul to Take that have no business being in 3D, and they slap on a post-conversion at the end just hoping to bust the ticket prices up a little bit. This one was shot and conceived in 3D, and it works because being in the cave, it's incredibly claustrophobic, and especially in certain segments, and that really helps bring in a depth to the film. And you know, kudos to Jim Cameron, because or Jim Cameron at Jim Cameron, because he actually
kudos to at. We're just gonna refer to him as at Jim Cameron.
Well, I called him Jim Cameron, and I hate that when people be like, "Oh, yo, Bobby De Niro's got a new movie." Bobby, really? You're gonna go to his house and sit on the couch and watch it with him? Seriously?
Maybe.
I don't know. You know,
dude, I've been on a podcast that has 200 episodes.
That's right.
What do you know about me? People know me.
But anyways, James Cameron, he is an advocate of 3D, and he wants good 3D, and that's. And you can see his influence, the way Jerry Bruckheimer will influence the visuals of a movie. You can definitely see James Cameron influencing the look of the movie and the use of 3D. Now, story-wise, I mean, it's your typical people struggling, so there's yelling at each other, and there's fighting, infighting in the group and that sort of thing. It's not tremendously written, but it's written well enough. You know, it works for what it is, and
it's an interesting movie. It looks really cool. It's got some great effects. It's got some great suspense, and it's a grisly movie. I mean, this is not the PG version of the movie. There's some very bad things that happen to people. So it's an intense movie, and I'm gonna say it kind of rocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want, man. You're the only one reviewing this.
That's right. So, yeah. I mean, it's one of those...
It's a movie about people in a cave.
It's one of those... You know, afterwards I said, I want to see a movie that had the cave from Sanctum versus the boulder from 127 Hours. And they can go up against the Twister from Twister.
This really is about... It's the tight spots.
And the Yellowstone Caldera from 2012 can then come in and kick everybody's butt.
Nice. So. Fair enough. Yeah. But, I really don't know what to say about Sanctum. I'm... not even remotely interested in seeing it. It's one of those movies. Like, I probably should want to go see it because it's in 3D and it's probably pretty cool in 3D.
Yeah.
But I'll just wait for it to come out on Blu-ray and be like, "Ooh, look at this Blu-ray! It's awesome."
I mean, it's not 127 hours in the sense that, you know, 127 hours is a much more thematic and you know, immersive piece into the mind of Aaron Ralston, whereas this is just more strictly, we got to get out of this cave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if 127 hours was him just saying, I got to get out from under this boulder, that would be a little boring.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So, okay. But yeah, kind of rocks for me. Definitely worth checking out, especially if you like 3D. It's definitely worth seeing in 3D.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Cool. All right, so moving on to the next movie. I'm wondering if you've seen this.
Have not.
The Roommate, which is basically single white female in a dorm room.
I'm her only friend. This is your home?
It was never a home when I lived here.
Rebecca's doing really well.
She's doing good.
She's taking her medication.
Medication?
Rebecca. Something is up with your roommate.
What do you mean?
Hello? You're a bad influence on her!
Now this has got the lady from Gossip Girl.
Leighton Meester. Yeah.
It's got Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights. Yes. It's got, I don't know, some other people who've probably been on some television shows.
It's got Ally McKayla from Hellcats. She's also known for the, she's done some Disney Channel stuff. And she was in Band Slam, too.
She was in Easy A.
She was in Easy A.
Ally Machalka. Isn't it Machalka?
It's something like that. It's like you're clearing your throat. It's like Ally.
She was in a band. She was in that, you know, Ally pop and AJ. Group with her.
Ally and AJ.
Ally and AJ. There you go. They were like, you know, the thing. What's the thing?
She's beautiful, but she has a huge head. Have you noticed that? She has a huge head.
That seems like an interesting observation.
It's enormous.
Anyway, so this is a movie directed by a man named Christian E. Christensen.
Okay.
I'm going to let that sink in for a second. You know, it just feels very much the stock and, you know, trade.
And here's the thing. They did not thriller. Screen this. They didn't screen it. Yeah. They didn't screen it for you. I've heard from other people in other parts of the country that they didn't screen it. I saw it. When I went and saw Sanctum, I was sitting next to a writer, an unnamed writer from an unnamed print publication.
Yeah.
Who told me that he was told they're not screening The Roommate because they don't want to give away the surprise ending.
Even though there's a trailer that basically gives it away.
Yes. But the whole point is I'm like, that's not why
they
did it.
I watched that trailer. It basically gives away the whole movie.
I said, that's not why they did it. He's like, yeah, I know they did it. They're not screening it because, well, it's screen gems. And
Also, professional critics don't spoil movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless they're Richard Roper.
Well, there you go. But yeah, I mean, it's seriously, I found that
what
ridiculous.
What do people think is going to happen in this movie?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy. I love those.
It's yeah. Like, well, it's screen gems, though. This is screen gems. They screened Country Strong, Takers for some god unknown reason, and Quarantine. That's in the last 2 years the only three movies they've screened because it's screen gems. And it's like the number one Chinese buffet generally is not the number one Chinese buffet.
Right.
If it says it's a gem, it's not a gem.
So there you go. There's our review of The Roommate.
Preemptive suck.
He gets a preemptive suck for not screening. Take that, Screen Gems.
That's right.
We got a lot of weight. We've been on for 200 episodes.
Boom.
People are going to listen to us and be like, hey, those fat guys said that The Roommate could possibly maybe suck, and they're angry that they didn't get to see it, so I'm not going to go see it now.
Boom.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment, and this is there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in this segment because we've got some well wishes from people to play. We got a voicemail to play. We're going to reflect on Fat Guys at the Movies for the last 4 years, which kind of is terrifying.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe we started in March of 2007.
I have this show is older
February
than,
of 2011.
This show is older than one of my children.
That's true. I remember when that child was born.
Terrifying.
I picked you up at the hospital to come record an episode.
Yeah, that's right.
That should have made our list of moments. That was funny.
That was. Before we get to that, let's talk real quick about box office. Who won last week?
Right.
I did have to give some shit to Jordan Raup over at the film stage because he used the term Anthony Hopkins has the right stuff as his awful pun. And after I gave him shit for that, Jeremy Kirk from Film School Rejects used pretty much the same pun.
Yeah, in the box office recap.
For the Reject Report. So I'm like, oh, people, you can't all be Nikki Fink. It came in. Won the weekend.
Boom.
With $14.7 million.
Very depressingly so.
which is not great. And The Mechanic came in third, 11.5. No Strings Attached was right there in the middle. And then it just went downhill from there. So much so, it was... You had to get to the... Only five of the top five of the movies that week made over $10 million.
Right.
Which is pretty bad. And I'm actually surprised The Right won. I was not expecting it to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. The Mechanic made $11 million.
Yeah.
That's not even close to its budget.
True.
Too bad.
True.
Jason Statham.
Oh, well.
Not all the movies can be the transporter.
Yeah. It should have done better. It was a decent movie. I think the R rating probably hurt it a little bit more.
Yeah. So where do we think Jim Cameron's movie and that other movie that comes out are going to fall?
The Roommate. Actually, I think Sanctum's going to do relatively well.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking 20 to 25. And the reason I say that is has nothing to do with necessarily the movie, even though I liked it. I think it has more to do with the fact that it's got that on the poster it says Jim Cameron, Titanic, and Avatar,
right,
and 3D. And I think people... If you say to somebody, what's the next James Cameron movie coming out? They're like, oh, that's that movie in the cave. They may not know the name.
Right, but they know it's a James Cameron movie. He's a, you know, he's a bona fide product.
Yeah, so I think that's going to carry it, plus the higher 3D prices, the IMAX ticket prices. That should push it between 20 to 25.
Okay, and The Roommate is going to make... Bupkis. Maybe top five if it's lucky.
10 to 15. I can't imagine it not with the holdovers. I can't imagine it not making more. And you're getting a little bit of bump from award films, but not enough to overtake anything. What's interesting, if you look at the midweek stuff, The Right is coming in fourth in the middle of the week.
Really?
No Strings Attached. They're all run. They're very all close and neck and neck. But No Strings Attached was winning. Tuesday and the King's Speech was doing
right.
King's Speech is doing well.
King's Speech should do well, and I wouldn't be surprised if Black Swan does well again in the weekend.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's all those Oscar movies. King's Speech. I wouldn't be surprised if the King's Speech comes very close to winning the weekend at the rate it's going.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll win. Not
because this isn't going to be its biggest weekend though, right? It's widest weekend will be this weekend.
Yeah. I still don't see it. I still don't see it making so much money that it's going to make $20 million.
Right.
I mean, the movie itself's made $75 million. So.
Right.
mean, it's not gonna do that. Right. So
hey, not bad. $141 million worldwide for a movie that cost $15 million to make.
Yes. So there you go. And I said the Weinstein should have a new slogan that says, "We can guarantee one really good movie that is well released each year." That should be their slogan.
Just one.
Just
and
one.
And a bunch of crappy horror movies.
Yeah. So
cool.
Let's move on. We got a listener voicemail.
We do.
Speaking of award movies, this comes from our good friend Thomas from Seattle, mm-hmm. and he has a question about a current Best Actor nominee. Here it is.
Hey, Kevin, it's Thomas. It's back with my weekly email voicemail. Anyway, I was just wondering about James Franco. It seems like three or four years ago, his career seemed like it was kind of dead. Like, he was kind of known as a guy who was in Annapolis and Tristan and Isolde. And now he's kind of like the hottest leading man. So what did he do right to like get his career back to like a much higher plane than he ever was? I mean, I guess he's an Oscar nominee now and he's hosting the Oscars. And, you know, now he has this cool persona. But like a few years ago, it seemed like he was this humorless pretty boy who just took himself too seriously. I mean, I wonder if maybe that's the answer. Like, he started, you know, chilling out a little bit. Anyway, Thomas from Seattle, and we'll talk soon. Bye.
Do you want to weigh in on James Franco here now?
Well, yeah, sure. I guess the question being, what has James Franco done to kind of dig himself out? I personally don't remember, I guess, this James Franco.
I actually do. I remember with the turning of the worm on this.
Right. One. I mean, I remember him from Freaks and Geeks, and... And he was good in that, and then I must have blacked out for the rest of this. But I will tell you what he's done. He's done everything. And yeah. He's done a lot of very intelligent things. He did Spider-Man, and then he kind of parlayed that into some really interesting indie roles. And then it's really been this year the few movies he's making interesting movies. Really, really interesting movies. Not just 127 Hours, which, you know, Danny Boyle can make anybody a star because that guy's got some vision to him. But
yeah,
he had 127 Hours. He also did Howl, which is the Allen Ginsberg movie. Great movie. Which was a great performance. Great performance. And, you know, he's done some really interesting... I think he's a very just talented, creative individual. His documentary, Saturday Night, was a great portrait of him hosting Saturday Night Live. And that's something that... You know, he just did on top of something that he would have normally done. You know, he's got a movie coming out, so he's going to be in, he's going to be on Saturday Night Live because he's very personal, charismatic, and he decides to make a documentary about it. It turns out to be this very interesting thing, and he's really caught the eye of a lot of people, and the press is in love with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, because he's very charismatic, he's very accessible, he's fairly clean cut. There's nothing, I don't know. He's provocative because he's so freaking charming.
See, I think, first of all, I think that the worm turned at Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express is another good example, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're right, he did the Spider-Man movies, did all three Spider-Man movies. And yeah, he was known for Freaks and Geeks, and that's kind of where he got some cred for that. But then he did the Spider-Man movies, and that kind of put him in the I can headline a movie stage.
Yeah.
And he got just some real... awful movies. And Thomas mentioned them. Tristan and Isolde, right. Annapolis. I mean, these were not good movies. Flyboys. He was in Flyboys. These were movies that were just like, and he was just this generic star. Right.
He was bar guy and, number one in The Wicker Man in 2006. Yeah,
well, that was, I don't know why that exists on his resume. But I think what he started to do is he started to say, I'm just going to take some interesting roles. If it's a small role, that's okay. If it's in a big movie, if it's a small movie.
Right.
And he was going to be daring. I mean, he was in Milk. He played Harvey Milk's lover.
Right, and he got a lot of critical acclaim for that because he was fantastic in that.
But he also did stuff, like you said, mentioning Saturday Night Live. He also was like on, was it General Hospital? He went on General Hospital.
Pineapple Express, you're right. It really kind of was the mm-hmm. turning point.
That's the one where I sat there and
he went from being that guy in Spider-Man to, wait, this guy's interesting, you know?
And he does do some very standard roles every now and then. He was in Eat, Pray, Love. He plays Julia Roberts' lover in that one. And that's not a right home performance. But he also would do roles like in, if you saw Date Night.
Yeah.
He friggin' stole the show in Date Night as Taste. The crazy guy who was... who they stole his reservation. I mean, he and Mila Kunis had this like 5-minute scene, and they showed up everybody in that movie, and they were hilarious in it. And that's, I think, what James Franco did, is he starts saying, I'm just going to take these roles, whether it's big, and he doesn't shun anything. And that's, I think, what works, is if it's a big role, and he commits to it, and he finds something interesting about it, because when he was just taking big roles and just playing the part as a star, he was falling flat. Right.
And I think he's had balance. You know, you look at 2008, 2009, he did Pineapple Express and Milk. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, so he had the commercial success, stoner comedy, and then the critical success drama. You know, this year he did Date Night, he did Howl, and then he did 127 Hours, just kind of split it. You know, it was very accessible and critically acclaimed. He's got nominated for best, you know, an Oscar. And he had a great little, you know, moment in Green Hornet. And then, you know, you look at 2011, he's rumored to be in Lovelace, the Linda Lovelace biopic, which is probably going to be an interesting drama. Then he's got Rise of the Apes, which is a huge summer movie. You've got Your Highness, which is going to be a pretty big comedy. And he just continues to keep balance, and he keeps himself out of the negative headlines. People are always talking about what James Franco's doing right, what's interesting about James Franco. You know, he's not getting caught going out of...
He's not holding knives under people's throats. Right. Like Charlie Sheen. He's not yelling...
getting caught stealing from a Walgreens and...
He's not yelling racial and anti-Semitic epithets as he's drunk driving.
He's not, you know, associating himself with Megan Fox in any way.
Yeah.
So he's really... He's very careful, and I think you look at it as a very crafted public persona. And like I said, he's charming. That's what matters.
He took a turn in 2008, and he went from being my most who gives a crap celebrity to being one of my favorite actors, just with Pineapple Express and Milk. I just thought he was fantastic in those two, and he just kind of hasn't stopped. So
So, you know, good for him, I say. Yeah. I think that, you know, he's an interesting actor, and you know, he's kind of spread himself out and doing different things, got a diverse plate, and you know, his performance in 127 Hours, very good. He's not going to win an Oscar, but it's very good. So
yes,
there's the answer
to your question. Now let's move on to the next thing. Is we've got a little thing that was put together by Merrill Barr, my co-host for the Idiot Boxers, who's also his show Celluloid Spotlights up on the Fat Guys Network. Little thing he put together with some of the other fans and friends of Fat Guys of the Movie. So let's hear it.
Hey guys, Merrill here from Celluloid Spotlight and the Idiot Boxers. I'm calling to congratulate you on your 200th episode of Fat Guys of the Movies. And you know what? I don't have a funny anecdote. I suck at those things. Kevin will tell you. So instead, I have some other people who probably have much funnier anecdotes than I do who would also like to issue a congratulations to you on your 200th episode.
Hey, this is Tyler Foster from DVD Talk or DroidGuy1119 on Twitter. I just thought that maybe you would appreciate a congratulations on having a 200th episode of your podcast, and hopefully you're feeling better, because I know you are sick, Kevin. Anyway, hopefully I'll participate in one of the upcoming live tweets. I don't know what's on deck. I haven't been following recently, but just let me know. I'll see you later. Bye.
Hey, Kevin and Neil. This is Tim from the Golden Briefcase. Just wanted to say congratulations on 200 episodes of Fat Guys at the Movies. It's a freaking awesome achievement, and I certainly hope our show can get there someday. And I just wanted to say thank you for countless hours. Well, it's not countless, I guess, because after 200, I think you could probably, you know, figure it out. But anyway, thank you for being a constant inspiration to all of us other podcasters, and I hope you guys have many more successful episodes. Thanks, guys.
This is Jeremy Kirk with the Golden Briefcase. Congratulations, Kevin, on 200 episodes of the Fat Guys at the Movies. 200 episodes. That is a lot of fat. So congratulations, and I hope we get 200 more episodes of plenty of fat and plenty of movies. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, Neil. Hey, Kevin. It's Jack Drew. To wish you a happy 200th episode, so congratulations.
This is Andrew from G-Man Reviews. Just want to send a big congrats over to Neil and Kevin over at Fat Guys of the Movies. You guys have done 200 episodes, and I mean, I've been tuning in for at least a good 100 at this point, and wow, it's been a great time. So just keep on going, guys. Keep on trekking. And, I mean, once in a while, you guys can lose a little weight. But not judging here, so keep going, and let's hope for another 200 sometime soon.
Neil and Kevin, I just want to congratulate you on, what is it, your 200th episode? 300th? It's not important. The numbers don't matter. What matters is that you've stuck it out and done the podcast week in, week out. And I just want to remind you that many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of those podcasts from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and kill your enemies? That they may take our lives, but they'll never take your fat guys. Always remember that. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. Like a mother whose baby birds have just flown. Anyway, congratulations.
Hey, FGATM and sometimes Neil, this is Fozzy. Congratulations on 200 episodes. I can't believe you come so far from the days when you recorded in your car and had no idea what you're doing. Now you're one of the shows that I listen to religiously every Christmas and Rosh Hashanah. I trust your opinions. I like your banter. I find you guys hilarious. Seriously, my week just isn't complete without listening to and looking forward to your show. I look forward to 200 more. Even if the zombie apocalypse has happened by then, I expect you to broadcast from your burned out bunker. All right, do that for me. So thank you guys so much for all the entertainment, for the joy, for the laughs, for the tears, here's looking forward to 200 more. Thanks.
Wait for it. Kevin, Neil, it's Hash. Carlos is always fun, as you may know. Just want to congratulate you on 200 episodes, and I hope you guys ride on to another 200. So, I dedicate this to you. May you ride on like the Valkyries themselves, or something like that. I don't know. It's supposed to be something inspirational. Anyways, congratulations, and go for another 200, guys.
I have to say, Marilyn and I, we sometimes don't get along in our podcast. We bicker and we fight, and there's a love hate relationship at times with Meryl. But I have to say, I was touched when you did this.
I was very touched as well. Very sweet, especially a lot of there's a lot of people out there that we work with and respect a whole lot, mm-hmm. who do some great things, including Cole Bias, who runs Film School Rejects. And so it was nice, for all of them to take a little time and, make a brother choke out a little bit.
I know. It was so cool. Whatever. It was very nice. So, yes, thanks to
everybody. I wonder how many of those people actually listen to the show.
A lot of them do. I mean,
I'm told that Tyler, people Tom. Listen to this show all the time. After 200 episodes, I still don't believe it. But thank you to all of you who send.
There's a surprising number of people who actually care what we have to say, which is
that's weird.
A horrifying concept to us.
I'm deeply touched by the
and the Catholic Church.
The folks who decided that they're to take some time and do that stuff.
Thank you, Meryl, for bringing in Tyler and Tim and Jeremy, Jack, Andrew, Cole, Fozzie, and Hash, and giving us
hooray
a couple kudos. So hope you guys still listen in another 200 episodes.
Hopefully, I don't kill Kevin in the next 200 episodes.
Oh. You won't kill me any faster than a Big Mac would.
That's actually kind of fast.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the 200th episode of Fat Guys at the Movies, and our
which
celebration,
which has basically been the only thing we're really talking about.
That's all we care about, because Sanctum and the roommate. What the?
I mean, Leighton Meester is an attractive woman, but
I've looked at the pictures from her sex tape.
She has a sex tape.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. In Fat Guy Spirit, we have the Fat Guy Five. Oh gosh! Now you just turn off. You can Google it later. Go. You can Google that, and then you can Google yourself, and then just have a little nap.
Cool.
Let's do the Fat Guy Five, and this is our five favorite Fat Guy memories.
Uh huh.
And let's start with number one, which was episode one.
Episode one, which was recorded in a car.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the funniest things about this show is that it started being recorded in car, in Kevin Carr's car. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's so funny is people don't realize that, and it was just one of these things. We get in the car because it's the most soundproof thing, and we recorded in the car with a one laptop computer and this little deck, and you can tell it sounds better now because we've sort of upgraded a little bit. But yeah, episode one was remember where I was sitting in front of you at a movie screening. I don't even remember what it was years ago.
The Science of and Sleep.
Was no. Mm-hmm. It was at the Lenox. No, I mean, no, that's when I fell asleep at.
That was the first time I ever noticed Kevin Carr.
But yeah, I was like, hey, you wanted this podcast, and we did this little like test podcast, and we put it together, and you know, if you knew then what you know now, you'd be like, yeah, no, don't talk to me, because I don't want to have to deal with this. But you did, and yeah, we put together this podcast, episode one. It's just bizarre to think almost 4 years ago.
Right.
At the end of March, mm-hmm. in 2007. So that's our first memory. What are some of our other memories?
Number two. Some cool interviews. Sorry.
Number two.
Just Googling.
Comes after one.
Anyway. we've had some great interviews over the years. Not the least of which were a great chat with Kevin Smith, who is always a good interview. And he probably gave us one of our best opening tags that we've had, second best in my opinion.
Which, if you listened to last week's episode, I went in through that.
Nice, yeah, that's always a good one. And bring that one back every once in a while.
And what's interesting is we interviewed him pre Zach and Miri.
Right.
It was during Die Hard, and I actually pulled out and put on my Facebook and Twitter the original interview, which is interesting to listen to now, especially considering how things have changed for him.
Yeah.
You know, sort of attitude and his filmmaking process.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of movies that you do, you have a couple projects in the works. Do you have any update on, like, Red State and Zach and Miri for us?
I was thinking we were going to do Red State first and then Zach and Miri make a porno second, but I think we're actually going to flip them and we're going to wind up doing Zach and Miri make a porno first. But it looks like we're going to start that in the fall, and I mean, with a title like that, I guess you don't really have to explain what the movie's about. Red State, a little horror movie, it's kind of about extreme religious fundamentalism.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll get to that right after we finish Zach and Miri.
Thanks, Kevin, so much. You've been great.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
So Kevin Smith was fantastic, and we've had the likes of John Voight and Danielle Fischel from Boy Meets World, who was a teenage crush of mine. Mm-hmm. And
you weren't able to interview her, and I interviewed her, and she thought I did a fantastic job, or a fabulous job.
Right, she was very impressed with your interviewing skills.
Now, my co-host, Neil Miller, he has had a crush on you for years, ever since he was a kid and watched you on TV, and he was not able to be at this interview. Can you just kind of give him a shout-out and say hi to him here?
Hi, Neil. I wish you were here, but Kevin's doing a fabulous job with your absence, so looking forward to meeting you again sometime in the future.
There you go. You got your shout-out.
So nice of her. Danielle, hi back, and call me whenever you get a chance.
I wish you were here.
There you go.
That we're gonna load that onto my computer. I'm taking that home.
That's gonna be your ringtone.
I wish you were here.
How about this one?
Whenever Kevin calls me, it's gonna be my ringtone.
Kevin's doing a fabulous job.
That's gonna be my ringtone.
And we went on a bus and interviewed David Arquette. I know not all these sound.
It was just cool for us because David Arquette. That was when he was doing The Tripper, and it was really soon after we started the show.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh my God, we got an interview with David Arquette, and we're going to be on his tour bus. Awesome.
Yep. So then probably my favorite one, which is Optimus Prime from episode 19, the Transformers episode. in which we interviewed Peter Cullen, and he did the Optimus Prime opening, and Optimus Prime wondered why we were not jogging.
This is Optimus Prime. You are watching Fat Guys at the Movies. Why aren't they jogging?
Why aren't they jogging?
That was a very fun episode. Yes. I laughed so hard when I listened to that now.
It was funny because Peter Cullen, I don't think he expected us to do that.
Right.
And he was, and because he's a voice actor, that he doesn't get a whole lot of press normally because he's just, he does Eeyore and Optimus Prime, and these are the things he does. And when we asked him to do it, you could tell he was nervous. He's like, is that okay? And I'm like, no, it was awesome. So
yeah, good guy. Good guy. We should have him on the show again one of these days.
We'll look into that. He'll be like, I'm not doing it again, guys. You got it once.
You only get Optimus Prime once.
Yes. The next big memory that we have is when we first got broadcast on the actual radio, because everyone can have a podcast, but not everybody can actually say they're broadcast on the radio. And I have friends in, of course, all places, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and at their big talk station there in Cheyenne. Granted, Cheyenne, the state, has 500,000 people in the entire state. So it's not a huge footprint, but broadcast on the air at KGAB, KGAB,
yep.
On the weekends is the Fat Guys in the Movies. Half-hour radio show. We have a shortened version of the show. And they started putting us on the air. It was relatively early in its run. It was in the summer of 2007, I believe.
Right.
But before we get to that, I want to give a big shout-out to KGAB in Cheyenne, Wyoming, because those people were silly enough and brave enough to put us on the actual radio.
I have no idea why.
Yeah, I have no idea why, but we're glad to be here. Hello to everybody out there in Cheyenne. And for those of you new listeners, if you want to get a hold of us, or if you're listening on the radio and you want to hear us on the internet, here's how you get a hold of us, Neil. And we soon learn we're not allowed to say boobs on Cheyenne radio. And we're also not allowed to make fun of Dick Cheney.
Apparently.
Because apparently that got edited out of one of our things back when he was the vice president. Like, that's the other thing. We've been, two presidencies have been overseeing the Fat Guys in the Movie show. Isn't that crazy?
That's right.
All right. What's the next big Fat Guy memory?
The Sick and Tired episode, which is one of the funniest episodes because you fall asleep at the end.
I totally just, because I was, I'd been up for like 2 days straight and you were sick. I mean, you were like, you had a fever and you're coughing.
Right. We sounded like we were just about to die, both of us. And I just remember Kevin falling asleep at the end of the episode and I'm like, hey, and you're like, what?
Huh? And then the show
and
ends.
And then the show just ends. It's funny.
We'll talk about that next week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, fatguysthemovies.com, iTunes store, just search Fat Guys the Movies. Email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also call us, 614-388-8735. And, that's the whole shebang. And to all of our listeners out there, we say goodnight, because Kevin has fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And this, I think, you know, there's another one that I want to tie in. This doesn't really tie into this one, but all of the tags at the end of shows.
All the stingers.
The stingers
we don't
are
have
so
those as
good.
Much. Yeah, we don't have those as much because, just again, for people who don't know how this show started, we started, of course, living in the same town. And what I do is I just drive over to your place and we record it.
Yeah.
Which was the Magical Studio in the Sky. And the Magical Studio in the Sky went virtual in the beginning of 2009,
right,
when you moved to Austin, Texas.
Right.
And we started having to do we connect through Skype and we do our own recording setup. But as a result, we don't have ourselves recording all the incidental garbage in the background.
Right, and all the in-between break stuff. And
yeah, we record our segment and we end and we hit stop. So we don't get all that extra stuff. And that's where all that golden tag stuff was,
right?
And
so if it just, I mean, and that's something that probably may never come back, but if you go back and listen to some of the episodes pre-2009, there are some hilarious ones. I've never been so funny in my life as I am in those 2 second clips.
We are pretty funny in those. So, yeah, that was a casualty of the technology. And even though we can still deliver you ooey gooey,
there's various swear words.
Every now and then we throw in a tag, but we don't get the stingers the way we used to. Yeah.
And then number five,
Becoming Chipmunks.
Oh God, so funny. I listened to this right before we started recording this show, and I was on the floor laughing.
We started, it was when Alvin and the Chipmunks, the first movie, came out back in 2007. And I said, let's do a segment as Chipmunks. And so we just sped it up. And we were just so tickled with ourselves. We thought it was the funniest thing. We did it for like 3 or 4 episodes where we constantly had Chipmunks. That people started to actually comment on the page or write in and send us emails and say, stop doing the
Please stop doing the Chipmunks. We're like, no, it's hilarious.
It's awesome.
It wasn't. It's really funny when you listen back on it now, but it wasn't funny like the 14th time we did it.
Yeah.
Let's play part of the trailer. Where they're like, what? Let's play the part of the trailer. No, part of the Batman trailer.
Oh.
As Chipmunks. So this will be Batman as Chipmunks.
You've changed things. Forever. There's no going back. See, to them, you're just a freak. Like me. What do we got?
Nothing. No name, no other alias. Clothing is hustling. Nothing in his pockets but knives and lint.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious? Where is he?
People are dying.
What would you have me do?
Endure. You can be the outcast. You can make a choice that no one else will face. The right choice. Gotham needs you.
A little fight in here.
I like that.
And you're gonna love me. It's more like it was me. It's all part of the plan. Hit me! Let's put a smile on that face.
So there you go.
There you go. That's what Batman would sound like if they were Chipmunks.
That's right.
Or if Heath Ledger as the Joker as a Chipmunk.
And that's why we're doing this again, because everybody we talked to, we're like, oh my God,
that's awesome. All three of them loved it.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, and I realized what it is.
Including my mom.
You could take, and we didn't even have Gerard Butler on this.
I know. If we had him in a Chipmunk voice,
oh
my God,
yeah,
my mom would be a fan for life.
Absolutely. Well, my theory is you can take anything. Like, you can take like the worst thing to watch ever, like on, you know, like actors. You can take like Steven Seagal and Barbara Streisand and have them do a love scene.
Or like Richard Roper reviewing movies.
And you'd be like, this is awful. And then you put them in Chipmunk voices and it'd be brilliant.
But when it was like Valentine's Day and we're still doing Chipmunks episodes.
Yeah, but I just, it's one of those things I enjoy because it sounds so different and the cadence is so different to the, and the humor is so much funnier. And
We played the Dark Knight trailer.
The Dark Knight trailer really does seal it. The Dark Knight trailer sped up to sound like Chipmunks.
And you've got like Alfred going, and he sounds like a very proper British
Chipmunk. He's a very proper British Chipmunk. So it's really funny if you get a chance to go. I think it was what, episode 43
yeah, early 40s, yeah.
So it's, it was Big Fat Chipmunks or something like that. Two
Chubby Chipmunks.
Two Chubby Chipmunks is the name of the episode.
And then the next episode was The Legend of Figgy McPudding, which is another Christmas episode.
I'd be willing to think if you were to put two Chubby Chipmunks into Google. Let's see what happens.
I don't know. You might get some crazy pornography with that one.
Yeah, you get Fat Guys the Movies is on that first page.
Awesome.
Episode 43.
Wow.
So
so
I would suggest you go back and listen to that.
Check it out. Yeah. Honorable mentions, we've got the Dane Cook ribbon campaign.
Yeah, the one where Kevin actually sent ribbons out to listeners and readers.
Interesting
fight
behind
against
the scenes
Dane
note.
Cook.
I started this campaign. It was, I think, after seeing Good Luck Chuck.
Yeah.
And I just hated it. I hated Dane Cook so much, and I was complaining about it. And I wrote this scathing piece, and I'm like, do you want to put this on Film School Rejects?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't think anyone will go for it. And then I said, well, I'll make these ribbons. I'll go figure out how to make these little brown ribbons because, you know, AIDS ribbon is red, and, you know, the best cancer ribbon is pink. So I got poop-colored ribbons
right.
from Dane Cook. And you said, I'll pay for the shipping. And I said, really? So anybody, he said, anyone who orders one through the Film School Reject page, I'll pay for the shipping. And we got hundreds of requests.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember you showing up at my house with this big stack of stamps just looking pissed as hell.
And it's still, so, I mean, to this day, it's a very highly trafficked page on Film School Rejects. People are still very angry about Dane Cook back in October of 2007. And I will say this. I think it had an effect because that guy's movie career is pretty much over.
We ruined him.
I have not seen him in a movie in quite a long time.
I'm so happy.
Take that, Dane Cook. You were defeated by a podcast that at the time had very little listenership and still has very little listenership. Oh boy!
There's speaking of highly trafficked pages. There's another honorable mention is the Miley Cyrus episode. We had a Miley Cyrus episode. I don't even remember what we were talking about her for.
It doesn't even matter. Let's.
I don't know, but we were saying some pretty raunchy things about Miley Cyrus, and I actually was told by another radio contact. He's like, "Well, if you want this to go on the air, you probably shouldn't be." This is, of course, when she was like 16.
Yeah.
He's like, "You probably shouldn't be saying this about Miley Cyrus," and I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
But the like the title of the episode
Miley
is like
Cyrus,
Miley Cyrus
Paris Hilton and lesbianism.
Lesbianism.
Yes.
Oh yes. It is the highest, the most visited page on Fat Guys at the Movies.
And what's funny is that the page on Fat Guys at the Movies has a really awesome picture of Christine Lakin in it.
Yeah.
It's not even about Miley Cyrus.
Well, I think we're talking, because the news came out that she said she was a lesbian. I think that's where the lesbian story came in, right around Blood Rain.
Yeah, this is February of 2008.
Blood Rain something or so whatever.
Wow.
Then the final honorable mention is when we went to the Air Guitar Championships in Columbus, Ohio.
And we hung out with Bjorn Turok. Yeah,
that
was good times.
A lot of fun. Back when I was writing for the newspaper.
We have had some good times. One of these days, you know, for episode 300 or something, we're going to have to get together and do a live show with us in the same room or something.
Maybe
we'll have money by then.
I'll talk to the wife, and maybe I can arrange to come down to Austin.
In 2 years.
When we have the
300th episode. Yeah, it's, you know, 4 years, 200 episodes, 50 episodes a year. So if the world makes it to 2013, we'll be there for episode 300.
If George Lucas is not correct, we will arrange that for the 300th episode.
Right. Otherwise, we'll be doing post-apocalyptic podcasts.
That's right.
Say that three times fast.
I won't. I can't.
Pepileptic dogs. Anyway.
We should go to a break.
Time to go to a break. We've bothered you enough in this segment. When we come back, we're going to do something that we do every week, and then we'll send you out of here. And we are wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We're in the home stretch of the 200th episode. I don't think you ever thought you'd get there, especially after that last segment.
I didn't think we would.
I had my doubts. Anywho, so we're moving into the one thing that we have done. We've done various segments. We've done Fat Guy 5 here and there. We've done all kinds of different shenanigans.
Yeah.
But every single week, this is the 200th edition of the world famous DVD roundup.
And we still don't have a real effect for it. So there.
No, we still. Why would we at this point?
Yeah.
So we'll start with me. I've got a couple on my list here. Got Monsters on Blu-ray. Monsters is the homegrown indie sci-fi awesome flick.
Yes.
It's very cool. It was shot on a shoestring budget and has some very cool effects that Gareth Edwards, the director, pretty much made on his MacBook.
I had a chance to finally catch this, and I have to say, I really enjoyed it. It had a very...
Yeah, it's a
District 9-y kind of feel to it.
There's kind of a District 9 feel to it. It's a real character story. Yeah. It's a relationship story that is... The backdrop is Monster Invasion.
Yeah.
We have The Double Life of Veronique, which is a new Criterion out, because you should buy every Criterion, it seems. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have these on Blu-ray. Okay. We've got A Woman, A Gun, A Noodle Shop, which is a remake of the Coen Brothers' Blood Simple about a Chinese noodle shop owner, and it's just super charming.
It's just weird to have
a lot of fun.
Because so many movies get remade in America that we see, because we're American. I mean, I know people listen to this in other countries. But from the American perspective, it's odd to see a movie getting remade in another language.
Exactly. So, very fun. Let Me In, which is the remake of
The Other Way,
the Swedish movie. This is going the way that we normally see it. And I will say this, it's very tight to the, you know, the original story, because it's taken from the same book. But there's a few character changes that they make that really kind of enrich the story. I almost like this a little bit better.
Really?
If I had not seen the Swedish movie before I saw Let Me In would be, to me, a great movie.
Yeah.
But since that first movie exists, it's just a great secondary movie. You know, it's still not as great as seeing Let the Right One In for the first time, sure, which was fantastic.
Sure.
So, and then finally, the Tillman story, which is a story of Pat Tillman, you know, pro football player who went to the war and died in the war.
Well, there's the end.
And then there was a lot of publicity around his death. Okay. And it's kind of the story of his family and their perception of things and what happened there. And, you know, it's kind of got a left-wing slant, so you got to take it with that in mind.
Sort of like a Dove kind of movie. It's a Dove movie.
Sure.
Hawk and Dove. It's an anti-war movie, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely anti-war. It definitely paints a picture of the government that's not positive. Mm-hmm. But I think it tells a very interesting story. And I don't think they necessarily set out to tell an anti-government story.
Okay.
It just, you see things through the eyes of his family. And that's kind of where it ends up. Mm-hmm. So, okay. But very interesting doc. You should see. It's good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with the movies that are new. The new movies on DVD and Blu-ray. Never Let Me Go, which is basically, if you were to take Michael Bay's The Island and strip out all action, the beer commercial, product placement, and actually tell a cerebral story about clones falling in love, that's what you would get. It's a very good movie. It's very worth checking out. It stars Andrew Garfield, who's the new Spider-Man. He's also in The Social Network, and Carey Mulligan, as these clones who know what their destiny is to be an organ farm, and then just sort of dealing with it and sort of looking at some of the ethical ramifications. Very similarly, the movie Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2 is out on DVD and Blu-ray. So if you didn't get enough of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2 years ago, you can see the sequel on DVD and Blu-ray. And then there are a couple of re-releases. You've got Ray coming to Blu-ray this week. You also have An Affair to Remember and All About Eve in these Blu-ray books. Normally you'd see these, I mostly see these from Warner Brothers, but Fox has done a couple of these Blu-ray books. So you've got these new, these old movies in Blu-ray for the very first time, classic films, Cary Grant, Betty Davis. And then finally, what would be my pick of the week is another movie brought back to Blu-ray, or brought to Blu-ray for the first time, Alice in Wonderland on Blu-ray, the 1951, 60th anniversary of the 1951 Disney movie, animated film. Disney does.
Man, that was my pick of the week as well.
It's
in
beautiful.
My Blu-ray column.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What's neat about it, I don't know if you play them with the Disney View. They have these things because
I have not really gotten into it yet.
Alice in Wonderland, like Fantasia, which recently came out on Blu-ray, was shot 1:33. It was shot full frame, and it wasn't shot widescreen. So instead of having those black bars on the side, they put like a little bit of artwork, some very subtle artwork.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, Pinocchio had that.
Pinocchio was the first one they did that, and that's actually kind of neat.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and if you listen on Fat Guys the Movies, I've got an interview with the woman who, Catherine Beaumont, who did the voice of Alice. So that should be releasing later this week.
Very cool.
So I think that's it. Oh, well, Stinker Conviction.
Stinker's Conviction.
Oh, yeah.
It could have very well been Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, man. I watched that. It was terrible.
Well, you're not quite
that. I feel sorry for myself having watched that.
Well, you know, we all have to have shame.
Anywho, time to do a review wrap-up. And we're really... This is kind of the worst week to have our 200th episode.
Sanctum.
But also kind of the best week, because then we got to talk about other stuff.
Yes.
So Kevin saw Sanctum.
Kind of rocks.
And then neither one of us saw The Roommate, so it gets a preemptive suck because it didn't screen. Next week, we've got The Eagle with Channing Tatum.
I'm seeing that.
We've got Romeo and Juliet, Just Go With It, and Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
Squee!
Oh, my G.
Wow. OMG.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the meantime, go over to fatguysthemovies.com. Check out all 200 of our episodes. And you know what? Thank you for listening.
We'll see you in 201.
Kevin's doing a fabulous job